I want to start a new series, which I think I'm going to call Missing Links. And certainly it's not about any missing links in the Bible, because there are no missing links in the Bible. But there is missing links in the teaching of evolution. That's why they call them missing links, because there's big gaps that they cannot fill, and yet they desperately need to fill. And my message tonight is Adam. I am including Eve in that, so ladies, don't worry. But Adam and Eve. But my message is Adam, looking at the beginning of God's creation of man. Let's read from Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I want to turn to several verses as we begin to look at this. You see, in this series, I want to challenge the theory or the teaching of evolution. You see, either you believe the Bible or you believe evolution, but you cannot believe both. The Bible challenges evolution, and evolution challenges the Bible. If you hold to the Bible, it's impossible to be an evolutionist. And if someone tells me they are, I have to put a question mark over their salvation. They may be confused, they may be untaught, they may be deceived, but I have to challenge them about their relationship with Jesus Christ. And as we approach this series, I am going to war on evolution. Over the coming weeks, I am going to expose it. I'm going to show how deceitful it is. I'm going to show how it's been filled with lies, forged with lies, and created out of a depraved, deceived mind. I'm going to show that very clearly. I'm going to show you the facts of evolution, where it was birthed, how it was formed, and how it was sold to our world and our generation. But here tonight, I want to lay a foundation before I embark on that. I am going to deal with evolution thoroughly, and what's presented as missing links, or ape men, or evolution. We're going to dissect it. But here tonight, I want to begin at the beginning, which is Genesis chapter 1. We're going right back, and I want to lay a simple foundation, very simple tonight, in this message called Adam. Reading first of all, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And it says there, "And God said," that is a very good place to start. I am tired of Christians listening to opinions, ideas, influences, to what is out there. We need to get back to what has God said. That's where we begin. That's what's solid. That's what never changes. But really, evolution is a moving sand. In fact, what I'm going to begin to deal with tonight, it's very frustrating for me. Because even my notes from 3 years ago, I dealt with this thoroughly 3 years ago, January 3 years ago. And yet even my notes from then is out of date, because evolution, the theory, the teaching of evolution keeps changing so much that I have to keep changing all my facts, my details, and my knowledge about evolution. It's not static. Evolution, and those who call themselves academic or scientists who teach this, they constantly have to change. It's very hard. But aren't you glad the Word of God never changes? In thousands of years, it's never been added to, not taken away from. It can't be improved. It's never been proved wrong in one sentence or one simple fact. Genesis 1, 26. "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And then to chapter 2 and verse 7. Chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Then verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Then verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you for your unchanging word, your reliable word, your authoritative word. My God, I can rest my mind and my heart, my future and my eternity upon it. Lord God, I thank you that you're a God who speaks, that you reveal yourself through the written word. Father, there's nothing unclear about it. It's spoken very clear. It's written very clear. And you reveal true history, true science, true biology, even in the word of God. Father, I thank you for a reliable book to guide us and to lead us. Lord God, science all around us is changing. Evolution is constantly changing their mind. My God, we'd be fools to rely on the men of this generation, on the intellectuals, the academics. My God, those with titles and degrees. Lord God, those who deny you and shake their fist at you. Lord God, those who think they know better than the word of God. We'd be utter fools tonight if we swapped the truth for a lie, if we swapped the creator for mere chance, nor God, if we swapped the reality of creation, nor God, for simply something that evolved by chance. Lord God, I do thank you for your wonderful plan of salvation, that you loved us, that you knew us, that you created us, that you planned us, that we're not here by chance, we're not a mistake, we're not an afterthought, but Lord God, you said that even from before the foundation of the world, that you knew us, that you loved us with an everlasting love, that you planned us, that you chose us, that you elected us in Christ Jesus your Son. My God, I thank you, O God, that we're not a freak mistake of biology. But my God, we are planned by the eternal and triune and everlasting God. Lord God, you planned to create us, Lord God, in one day at the very beginning. And Lord God, you still have a plan for us tonight in Christ Jesus. I do love you and I thank you for your word. Make it clear, make it settled. And Lord God, answer every question of the heart. Lord God, we do want to be honest and real and sincere tonight. And in this series and in the weeks to come, Father, do protect our children, O God, and the young people who move in our midst, and O God, and every sinner that walks in our door, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. My message here tonight, Adam, we know that it's only in a few weeks' time or next month that the movie industry is going to release a movie called The Missing Link. In that movie, they're going to promote the doctrine of evolution. They have taken their profound scientific teaching of evolution from apes, and they are going to put it into a cartoon form to evangelize little children. The laws in our schools are changing in order that they can reach children younger and younger with their teaching of evolution. It's on the television, it's in the internet, it's in the movie industry, it's in Vaden Church, it's everywhere, it's in the books, it's in the culture around us. Saints, we've got to know what the Bible says, and we need to answer the things that this generation are saying. We need an answer. And I, in dealing with evolution, we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, and the following chapters to begin to look at the true history of mankind. In Genesis chapter 1, we read there in the verses that we've already read that at the end of the sixth day, that God created man. Male and female created he them. There can be no confusion on this. God created mankind, man and woman, on that sixth day. It is very clear. It is God speaking. It's not the word of man. It's not religion. It's not opinion. This is God's view of history. Adam did not write this. Moses did not invent this. This is actually God's history of the beginning of all things. He wrote it. He inspired it. He gave it. He was there at the beginning. No scientist was. No man was. No person was. Only God was there at the very beginning. Notice in Genesis chapter 1 that he actually says for each day, then God said, let there be. This is how he works through each of the 6 days. But when he comes to day 6 in dealing with man, he begins to talk like this. Let us make man in our image. It's no longer him saying, let there be. Now the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is talking together about the creation of man. You see, the Bible teaches clearly that man has been on the earth for 6,000 years. That the earth is a young earth, not an old earth. That man has been here a short time, not a long time. In the teaching of evolution, they teach that the earth has been here 4.5 billion years. Whereas the Bible shows us the earth has been here 6,000 years in the history of man. And we hear from evolution that man has been here, I don't know what time to give you, because they keep changing their mind. Maybe man has been here 100,000 years, or maybe it's 300,000 years. It's very hard to tie them down. And it depends where you look what they're saying this year, last year, the year before, or 10 years ago. You get all different ideas within creation and science, and yet the Bible remains the same. What it said when I was a child, it's still saying. What it was saying in my great-grandparents' day, it is still saying the same, because it's an infallible teaching of the truth of God. In Genesis chapter 1, there are those who try to show that there's billions of years and millions of years for mankind, and that there can be hundreds of thousands of years of history of man on the earth. Do you know what worries me at this time is that how evolution has invaded the church with many teachings. It's no longer atheists and evolutionists teaching this now. It's no longer the unbeliever in God. But now we have a problem inside the church that increasingly churches, pulpits, Christians, leaders, book writers, men who say they're born again, who believe in Jesus, who believe in a literal account of the Bible, they are now saying they believe in billions of years, they believe in millions of years, and they believe that evolution does not contradict what the Bible says in Genesis. There's those who talk about the gap theory. They put a very big gap between Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and verse 2. Look in your Bible. That white gap between verse 1 and verse 2. They put thousands, hundreds of thousands, and millions of years in there. Do you know why? Because they're trying to handle what evolutionists are saying. They're saying, we've got to find in Genesis 1 billions and millions of years. We don't want to change the Bible. We believe the gospel, but we've got to find billions and millions of years, or else we'll have to throw our Bible out. So between the white space between verse 1 and 2, they create something called the gap theory. Before the creation of Adam. And they say there was a whole world, a whole creation, a whole functioning in between that space. Saints, there's nothing between verse 1 and verse 2. There is no gap theory. It's impossible. There's also those who call themselves Christian, and they say that each of the 6 days of creation isn't 24 hours, but a long period of time. They deny that this is literal truth. We can't just read it and believe it anymore. Why do they say that? Because the scientists and the evolutionists say so, and because we found bones. And we found all manners of things buried beneath the ground. And they found a skull and a tooth and a knee joint. And because of that, they say, we need to change the Bible. And it can't mean 24-hour days. It must mean long, extensive periods of time. Then there's also those who talk about between each day of creation. Yes, they're literal days of creation, but between each of the days is a long period of time. Now, many of these who talk like this, they're all Christians. They all claim to believe the Bible. They all say they believe in Christ. They all say they're born again. And yet they're searching for billions of years. They're looking for many hundreds of thousands of years. And they're trying to put something into Genesis 1 that isn't there. It's not written there. They're trying to impose it. And they're trying to change the simple words of this book. Saints, never get complicated. What the Bible says, the Bible means. And unless it's symbolic language, we take it literally. And we're going to see that here tonight. Look with me at Genesis chapter 1 and 26. What it says. And it says there in chapter 1, and God said, what a powerful statement. And God said, let us, that is the Godhead, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. We did not evolve. There's no room for it in Genesis 1. We didn't evolve. We didn't come from a fish. Neither did we come from a chimpanzee or a monkey. The Bible is either true or it's false. There's no other option. Either the Bible is a lie, a deception, a fairy story, or else it is truth. But you can't carry both together. And in Genesis 1 it says, let us make man in our image. This was God speaking with himself. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, saying, let us make man. There were no men. There was no man on the earth. There was no existence of a person. But God is actually planning man. They talked about it. They discussed it. They desired to create man. And they said, this man is going to be in our image, after our likeness. What does this word image mean? It means to be fashioned in a special way. That's what image means. It means you actually fashion in a special way. The word image is used elsewhere in the Old Testament for graven image, where men made statues or images of who they were worshipping. You see, that is a image. You make it in the likeness of something. And this word image means that God carved out. He carved into the shape of God. God planned that he's going to make a man and carve him or create him or make him in the very image of God himself. No animal is like that. No whale, no monkey, No other creature, no tree, no mountain, no planet, no star. God actually said man is going to be in our image. Not man's outward appearance. He was not talking merely about the body, though that has a part of it. He's talking about something else. God was going to make a man self-conscious, with a moral consciousness or a God consciousness. He was going to make him a spirit to communicate with God, to worship God, to pray unto God, to fellowship with God. God was going to create a person, a man, who could actually enter into fellowship with the Godhead. You see, he was going to put in man holiness, wisdom. He was going to be his creation and have creative abilities. And the word likeness there means to resemble, to have a resemblance unto God. So right at the very beginning, God is very clear. God said, we are going to make man in our image. Saints, the Bible utterly refutes that man is made in the likeness or the semblance or the resemblance of a chimpanzee. That is an offense. That is an utter offense. The evolutionist is trying to force us and press us into the image of a monkey. But God says man is going to be in our image, in the image of God himself. The name Adam in the Hebrew here means ruddy or red, or to be made from the ground. Now the word Adam that's used here in its noun form means man, are mankind, all of mankind. So Adam can be an individual man, or it can be all of humanity. Every person, whether you're a female or a male, you are Adam. You are mankind. And that's what he actually says here. The word Adam, or Adama in the Hebrew, is the word for ground and earth. Adam was made out of the ground or the earth. He was literally formed out of earth. Adam was formed out of Adama. And his name means that he's ruddy or is red. When you look at all the colors in our world, from white through to black, as men talk about, here we have Adam. If this is anything to go by, he was ruddy red. He was more like a red Indian than any of us sitting in this room. And God actually formed him of the earth. The earth was red, and God made him of the clay of the earth. And that's how God began with Adam and with Eve. And here we're told that this man was created by God. Not by evolution, not by chance, not by time. He was made in one day, in one period of 24 hours, until the latter part of that day. He was made in one 24-hour period. He was made by the hand of God, not over a period of time. Saints, I know this is simple. I know it's basic, but all hell is raging against what I'm saying tonight. All hell is let go on our Western situation, and every child that we mix with is going to get hit with this 1,000 times, 10,000 times, and we have to know and understand the Word of God. We've got to love it. We've got to believe it. We've got to hold to these simple truths. It says in Genesis 1 and 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. He not only talked about it, he did it. He created him in his own image. He created him. Notice that word create. It's the word bara. And the word bara is only used of God's creation. Man does not bara anything. It literally means that God builds man. He builds woman. He literally lays his hands and creates them in the period of a day, in a single individual day. God creates him. Man doesn't have the ability to create. We can invent things out of something. We can mold things. We can work with things. But we do not have the power to create something out of nothing. And it gives this title to God's work. He created. Man does not create. Evolution cannot create. You know, in evolution they say simple things gave birth to technical things, to complicated things. But actually, the opposite is true. You see, I believe Adam was a dynamic creation. I believe his intelligence was greater than anyone who walks the earth today. I believe his beauty was immaculate. I believe his strength was remarkable. I believe everything about him was better than anything we've ever seen in our world. The greatest intellect would not compare with him. The greatest intelligence, wisdom, understanding, none of this. His memory was profound. And God done a good work when he created man. He created him in his own image, with his own attributes, and with a desire for fellowship. The Bible actually says that Adam was formed of the dust of the ground. That's his body. God, with his own hand, formed the body of Adam of the ground, or the dust of the earth. He formed him. He molded him. You know, God is the potter. We are the clay. We still are saints. He is the potter. He is the creator. He is the molder of lives. If you trust him, he'll do what nobody else can do. God gave Adam a body, and he molded it by himself. Second of all, the Bible says that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now notice this, there is a dead formless body. It has a shape according to the image of God. God has created this body. God has planned the shape of his body. Monkeys were already created, but it's not in the shape of a monkey. It's utterly different. The foot is different. The function is different. God has planned, designed the body of a man, and it's not like any other creation. It is utterly distinct. Second of all, he breathes into this body with his own breath, the breath of life. And do you know what came in? Spirit was created at that point. As soon as God breathed into his nostrils, the spirit came into a man and he was made alive. And do you know what happened when the spirit met the physical body? We are told that man became a living soul. So we have a body, we have a spirit, and we have a soul. We have three parts to man. You are a body, you are a spirit, and you are a soul. There's three parts to you, like the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There is an outward part of you that all of us see, but you're more than your body. You are not summed up by your body. Your body is not what you are. You're something more than that. You actually have a spirit and you have a soul. When you get born again, your darkened spirit that is bound by sin and is dead and is in darkness suddenly comes alive. And our soul, we know what that is. Your thoughts, your emotions, your feelings, your intellect, your will. That is your soul realm. It's the natural part of your personality. It is who you are. It's the way you act, good or bad. That's who you are, the soul of the person. We're actually told in Genesis 1, God created man, his body, his soul, his spirit. On the same day, God created him. Genesis chapter 1 speaks about Adam being created on the sixth day, very briefly. But when we go to Genesis 2, we have a full explanation of this creation. God goes into it in detail, how he created man, how he created woman, all the circumstance of it. And you know what? It is utterly beautiful. Look with me at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. And it says, "And the Lord God said..." Again, that powerful statement. This is not the word of a church or a particular religion. This is God's word to man. God said. God said. Never say it's our belief. God said it. That settles it. Saints, there's no argument over this. This is the word of God. Either you believe it or you reject it. Either you're going to submit yourself to the word of God, Or you're going to believe lies and deception. The Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Notice in Genesis 2, we have the full day of creation. First Adam is created. Then the Lord actually says, the same God who created him, who planned him, who engineered him, and who designed him, the very same God, he said, it is not good that man should be alone. Notice he doesn't say man is lonely. He's not lonely. He's actually alone. And God is now saying, it's not good for Adam to be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. You see, notice with me, God says here, Adam is alone. There is no pre-Adamic race. There's no other ape men in around him. He is not unique amongst many other semi-human creatures. He actually is alone. There's nobody like him on the earth. And the Bible says he is alone. There's nobody to talk to on the entire face of the earth. There's not one person can grunt back to him. There's no one who can smile back in his face. You know, I think they say there's no animal smile. Well, some of you with dogs, you may argue about that, but there's something about a human that's utterly unique. And while you can enjoy animals, you cannot communicate and fellowship in this unique way. You see, God said man is alone. So what did he do? Did he immediately create woman? No, he didn't. Notice with me, follow here in Genesis chapter 2 for a minute. Look at verse 19. And it says, now notice what he said. He's just said, let us create a helpmeet for Adam. There's nobody, there's no other creature on the earth that can be a helpmeet, that can join with them, that can unite, that they can work together. There's none in all of creation. So he goes further. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Notice here, all the creatures, God brings them. You see, God's got a plan to create someone who's like him, to fellowship, like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost fellowship together. God had a plan for Adam to create someone to stand by his side. So what does he do? He creates all of the land-dwelling animals, and one by one, like he brought all the animals to the ark, he presents them to Adam to see what he would call them. You see, if you're going to name an animal, you need to look, you need to study, you need to watch, you need to think, you need to decide. And you know what? As we've always said, name denotes character. I believe he gave, maybe the giraffe called it long neck. I'm sure elephant, he had a name for it. All of them unique names according to their character. He had each animal come to him and he looked at it and he studied it. The chimpanzee was there and the apes were there and all manners of animals were there. And do you know what? He could name all the animals. But what does it say? And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. Land-dwelling animals were brought to him. There is no ape or chimpanzee that can actually satisfy God's plan. And since the monkeys were brought before him, but yet Adam himself said, there is nothing in any of these. We need to simply read the Bible and believe it. Then look at verse 21. Says the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and he closed up the flesh thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Now I'm going to mention something before the end of this message. It's vital that you understand this. Woman is taken out of man. Man is not taken out of woman. You may say, yes, I know that. It's very important you realize that man did not come out of woman, could not come out of woman. And genetics proves it, not just biology, but genetics actually proves it. Do you know what God done? He took a rib out of Adam's side and he begins to make or build a woman. There's no accident in the creation of man and woman. There are distinct attributes, a man and a woman to be a helpmate. God makes absolutely no mistakes whatsoever. God begins to build the woman perfectly according to his design. It's not chance. It's not accidental. It's not evolution. It's creation according to the mind of God. And you know what he does? He goes further here and he says, she shall be called woman. Because she, and notice this, this is a text from 6,000 years ago, saints. She was taken out of man. Why is she called woman? Because she's taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. God is making a very important statement here, saying, don't think that the man has come out of the woman. The woman was taken out of the man. Listen to me. In other words, there's something in woman that was originally in the man, but it had to come out of the man. It had to be brought forth out of the man to create a woman. And there's something very unique about that that I'm going to show you here. And it says in chapter 3, verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Who was Eve? This first woman, this woman called Eve. The Bible teaches in Genesis 3, right at the beginning, while Adam is a young man, the Bible actually says Eve is the mother of all living. Since we take these statements, because we believe them, we take them so casually. I want to tell you, in our 21st century, we hold a document 6,000 years old that says Eve is the mother of all living persons. The Bible says there's not one person on the earth, not one man or woman that doesn't descend from her or that has not come forth out of her. She is the mother of all humanity, of the Africans, of the Australians, of the Americans, of the Europeans, of the Chinese. They all were in this one woman. When we were at school, we used to have those Russian dolls. It starts big, you open it, you get the next one, you open it, there's another one, you open it, there's another one, you open it, there's another one. And when I once stood with a lady, she was about half my size, I looked at her, and she had 18 children come out of her, and a whole bunch of grandchildren, and I stood there looking at her, and I said, it's a miracle that this little lady, all these children can come out of her, all these grandchildren, and so our entire world is filled like that. No way can evolution produce a miracle like that. It is an amazing thing. But right at the very beginning of the Bible, it says Eve, this woman who was personally built by God. Listen to me. God built her. And every person has been birthed forth out of her. God built her. He designed her. He put her ribs together. He engineered her body. I'm sure he made her hair long on that first day. He done all of this. He is creating a woman. But go with me to chapter Genesis 5 and 1. And it says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. Notice that word book. You know what the word book there means? It means written account, a document, or an actual book with written information. Not signs, it's written information. It says here, this is the book of the generations of Adam. Do you know this statement is used many times in the book of Genesis, that a book is written by a particular man. We later read of the book of Noah, right the way down to Joseph. In the book of Genesis, we see that the history from Adam all the way to Joseph gets recorded by each individual in each generation of the history of mankind. And it goes all the way personally from Adam all the way to Joseph without any broken links within it. Here in Genesis 5 and verse 1, what we're actually reading about is Adam produced a record. And it goes from Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4 all the way through to Genesis 5 and verse 1. It's his personal eyewitness account. It is the oldest written document in world history. There is nothing older than this book of Adam. Adam actually kept a record of the events in Genesis 2, Genesis 3, Genesis 4, and then into Genesis 5, Noah begins to record everything through until his son Shem. And then Shem begins to keep a record of all these events. What does Adam record? He records the creation of man, the creation of Eve, the temptation by the serpent and their fall into sin. He records all of this. He actually writes down and records the birth of his two twin sons called Cain and Abel. He writes about how they were different, how their worship of the true God was different. One wanted to live by good works and the other by blood sacrifice. Who recorded this? Adam recorded it. He then records about Seth being born. And finally, he says that they had many sons and many daughters. So Adam is living all through this, and he's watching the expansion of mankind. You see, Adam, the very first man, had the ability to speak, to think. He had knowledge. He had creative elements within him from the beginning. Day one he was created, he could speak. He walked with God. He communicated with God. When he saw the woman, he went, "Whoa, man." So we know that he spoke on day one of creation. He had the ability to look on her and be impressed with God's creation. He was very taken with her and he was very glad to marry her on that day. But not only that, he had the ability to work. He had muscle power. He had a beard on his chin. I'm afraid I'm lacking here tonight. You men have certainly are more biblical than me in this. Paul backslid somewhere recently and lost his beard. But I believe Adam, he had a beard on his chin. He was fully muscular. He was able to work. But more than that, he was able to write. Writing was not a thing of evolution. Speech is not a thing of evolution. Don't believe what they say. Day one, God created a man. Immediately he could speak. And he did have the ability to write. You know why? He was so intellectual. He was so intelligent. He was so gifted that he could immediately write. You didn't need to teach him. Give him an hour, maybe 30 minutes. And I'm telling you, he'll be able to write what he is speaking. You see, all of this is in the Bible, and yet evolution has stolen all these things and said they could only grunt. Ape men could grunt. They certainly couldn't write. They could never hold a pen between their thumb and their index finger. What a load of trash. You see, the Bible is so simple, so pure, and so true. It says in Genesis 5 and 4, "And in the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years back, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." He was 930. This man created by God, placed in the garden, with Eve built for him, lived for 930 years. Since when we come to the New Testament, Adam is mentioned 9 times. He's mentioned in the Gospel of Luke by name. He's mentioned in Romans, 1 Corinthians, 1 Timothy, and the book of Jude. Jesus also speaks about Adam in Matthew chapter 19 and Mark chapter 10. He says, when he made them at the beginning, he made them male and female. At the beginning, there is no before the beginning. Jesus himself goes back to the beginning of all things, and he said right at the beginning, male and female were made. They were created by God, and he verified Genesis. You know, when Jesus is speaking, he quotes from Genesis 1 and he quotes from Genesis 2. Christ actually took Genesis literally. He believed that Adam was a real man, Eve was a real woman, it was a real marriage, and they were brought together in a real relationship together. The Apostle Paul also speaks about the entire human race being in Adam and under Adam. Adam was the head of the entire creation. In Romans 5 and 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world. Saints, this is what the Bible says. You either believe this or you don't. But the Apostle Paul, teaching in the early church, said by one man, Adam, sin entered the world. There was no sin until Adam and Eve sinned. Until Genesis chapter 3, the temptation and the fall, sin had not entered creation. It had not entered the garden. It was not in our world. We read of the history of the first sin of mankind, and it was committed by Adam and by Eve. And it says, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The Bible teaches clearly that death and sin entered in the days of Adam after creation. It's very exact. There was no death before Adam. There was no sin before Adam. It's impossible, or we have to deny the scripture. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 45 it says, and so it is written. Notice how he's quoting the Old Testament, Genesis. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. So we see in the New Testament, Adam and Eve and sin and their entire life is taken literally. In 1 Timothy 2:13, it says, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Do you realize that affects the church, how we operate in this church right now? What happened in the garden, in creation? Adam was created first, then Eve. You want to know why our families function in a certain way and our church functions in a certain way? You know why? Not primarily because of sin, not because of the fall. First of all, it's creation. God created Adam first. God had a plan in it. Why do we function as we do in our homes and our church? Because God decided it that way. It wasn't part of the fall. It was before the fall. But then secondly, Eve was deceived. Adam wasn't deceived. Eve was actually deceived. She went into it thinking this was a good thing. She was deceived. Adam wasn't deceived. He knew Eve had sinned. He then made a decision, said, I'm going to commit sin, to be with the woman, to identify with the woman. Men have been doing that ever since, and women have been doing that ever since. We see it all across the world. In the New Testament, in Hebrews, it speaks about Abel in chapter 11, is mentioned as a man of faith. He was a real man with real faith who offered a real sacrifice. Jude warns about the way of Cain, and in 1 John we're warned about the wickedness of Cain. All of this is in the Bible to show us that it is actually a literal account. Since the Bible is very clear, on the sixth day God created Adam and Eve. He created the male and female, and he brought them together in order to have children and to fill the world with their children. But you know, the first deviation from this teaching was only in 2000, about 2200 BC, in the days of Nimrod. Listen to the creation story in the days of Nimrod, how it's been changed. Listen, this is the oldest account apart from Genesis. Outside of Genesis, this is the next oldest account in our world of religious teaching on where we came from. In the days of Nimrod, it was taught the mother goddess created. There were many gods, multiple gods. Her father was a god, her mother was a god, and she dwelt in the sea. And out of the sea, all things were created by and through this mother goddess. Saints, that's how old this thing is. It also says in that story that man was created amidst a drunken party of the gods, that he was an accident, that because of their drunken state, he was made inferior, greatly lacking. He was not perfect. He was not good. He was an afterthought. He was a mistake. He was a freak. He was an accident. He was a result of drunkenness. So the gods created him. Then when they realized how bad a creation he was, they destroyed him with a flood. And only two people, a man and a woman, survived that flood in a wooden ark. Saints, I believe from the days of Nimrod, men who hated God, hated holiness, hated the written word of God, began to attack it in the days of Nimrod. They took truth and began to pervert it. But let me bring you down before I close to the 21st century and what we're going to deal with in this series. I'm only laying a foundation. I'm giving you things you already know tonight. They're basic, they're elementary, and yet they're utterly under attack. They always have been. In 1859, Charles Darwin wrote his book, The Origin of Species. Isn't it amazing? He wrote that book in the year of national revival, when revival swept Britain and Ireland and America, when hundreds of thousands and millions were turning to Christ. The devil is releasing a book called The Origin of Species. Darwin in that book actually began the search for the missing link. And in that book, he didn't mention men descending from monkeys in The Origin of Species. He only talked about the animals. He said all of the animals, all the creation order, they all descended from one fish in some pool somewhere. They all come out of life. But he never mentioned men. You see, he was stepping out into a generation that believed Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis 2. Genesis was taught in the schools. It was taught in the churches. It was taught in Parliament. It affected the entirety of society. It was in the books. It was promoted in the newspapers. It was everywhere. You see, in 1859, men believed in creation. Yes, many rebelled against the gospel and said, I don't believe in anything. But saints, the devil was preparing to forge a lie in hell that was going to affect our generation. Listen to what he said. He said, light will be thrown on the origin of man and his history in the days to come. He says very shortly, there'll be a revealing that what I've written in this book will be found to be true. Men are going to find it to be true. In 1863, Thomas Huxley published his book, The Evidence as to Man's Place in Nature. He was the first man to actually write in a book, We Descend from Monkeys. That was the very first book. But in just a few years later, in 1871, Darwin published The Descent of Man, where he said, we descend from apes. He was very explicit. Saints, it's important you realize this, that in all the great colleges of Britain and America, I mean all the great universities, they all taught creation up until this point. But 150 years ago, something began to change that has swept our world, and now it's in the television, the movies, every school, almost every nation. Evolution, you will be stoned if you teach or believe anything else. Saints, I'm telling you something that began to change 150 years ago. Do you know all our history books? Until 150 years ago, talked about the flood and creation. Secular history books said there was a literal flood and that our nations descend back to Adam and Eve and the children of Noah. They actually wrote that in secular books, but that began to change. In the 1890s, little thoughts of this began to be introduced to our school books. And after Darwin, the great search began for the missing link. Listen to me closely as I finish. After Darwin's material was spread everywhere, and this idea began to spread, men began to look for the evidence of what he had written. They didn't have any evidence. Darwin never had a skull or a skeleton or any proof of a missing link. There wasn't any. He didn't have any. He wrote an entire book on a lie, a deception, and he had no facts. He had no evidence, but he said someday somebody is going to find evidence. And you know what happened? All these people who received his teaching began picking up spades, going to foreign nations, unusual places, and began digging holes. You know why? They said, we believe it, but we must find evidence. You know what they're looking for? We've got to find an ape man. We've got to discover a skeleton that proves that we descended from monkeys. What came first, the evidence? No, there was no evidence. This started infiltrating our schools, our universities, our colleges, our books, our media, and yet there was no evidence. They began to draw the pictures before there was even one skeleton. And listen to me. Then they began to find skeletons. They found the Neanderthal. They found the Java man, the Piltdown man, the Nebraska man. They found Lucy, the Rhodesian man. They even found Dino. And many others we're going to deal with in the coming weeks. Do you understand what I'm going to deal with here? And over the past 150 years, they found a new specimen about every 20 years. Then you shelf the previous one and you find a new one to deceive the generation. Saints, I'm going to show you how all of these missing links were deceptions in the coming weeks. I'm going to show you where they lied, where they deceived, where they created their own skeletons. I'm going to prove to you that this was one of the greatest deceptions that's ever been spread in our world, to our generation. It is a mass, unquestioned deception. And yet I'm going to give you the facts why all of these supposed missing links are actually counterfeit. At the end of last year, I done a DNA test. Candace bought it for me, a very cheap, simple thing, and I done it. I expected to be 70%+ Scots-Irish. I expected that. I expected to be at least 17% Scandinavian. My eyebrows in the summer give it away. But what I didn't expect was to be 3.8% Greek. I had Greek DNA or genealogy in me. I never knew it. Nobody ever told me. I didn't have a clue about that. But in looking at the DNA, or in other words, they could test to begin to look at what my makeup is. I still don't understand it all. And it's still not in a condition of perfection. But they were able to begin to show me where all my ancestors came from through my DNA. So a part of me that was Greek, and now I'm able to talk about the Greek language without feeling guilty. I'll just say it's my native language, or that's the 3.8% of me speaking. And you can argue with me. And in fact, the Greek name I tracked down, it means to be a reader in the church. That's what the Greek name were associated with this. So I like that. But listen to me. DNA is a very interesting thing. Over the past couple of years, little children that come through the orphanages, through the Catholic Church in this nation, who got sold to parents in America. They were taken off their mothers, and they were sold, and the records were hidden, and were never given to them, and they were separated from their family. Do you know what's happened in just the past 2 or 3 years? Is old men in America have gone back and done their DNA, and they found their brother and their sister and their siblings, and they've come back to Ireland, and it's been too late because their mommy died and their daddy had died, but they began to find family members. I mean brothers and sisters, or half-brothers and sisters. Saints, DNA done that. DNA revealed who their closest kin were. And even in the past couple of years, this has been used to find criminals. Saints, let me close. Humans have 23 pairs of chromosomes. All of us do. 23 pairs. The 23rd pair decides whether you're a male or a female. It determines who you are and what you are. You see, men have an X chromosome and a Y chromosome. Only the men in this room have that. The women only have the X chromosome. In the 1st of January 1987, the first research paper was released stating that we all descend from one woman. Listen to me. Yeah. In 1987, the researchers of DNA suddenly come out and said every man and every woman of all colors, of all languages, of all nationalities, they all go back to just one woman. We all in this room descend from the same actual woman. They first come out and said this in 1987. All through the 1990s, there was criticism, argument, and ridicule of this. They didn't want to believe it because it verified the Bible. But from the early 2000s, the evidence became overwhelming. Through until 2014, when they finally had to accept, we all come from the same woman, and her name is Eve. That is a scientific fact, a biological fact, a DNA fact. All of this began to be spread. Do you know what they actually call her? They call her the mitochondria Eve. And we all descend from her. Do you know what else they discovered when they're searching into DNA? This Y chromosome. Every single man on the planet descends from the same man. Now this is with DNA. Now you have two lines here. They're now saying there's a Y chromosome and there's an X chromosome. And the X chromosome shows that all of us in this room go back to the same woman. We all came from the same woman. And the Y chromosome proves that we all in this room, I don't care what your color or nationality, we all go back to the same man. Not just one of these things, but two of these things. The same man, the same woman, we all descend. And now even Mr. Dawkins admits this. I listened to him earlier today, and he actually said, we all go back to Eve and Adam. I listened to it with his own voice. He was forced to say it because it's fact, it's DNA. And of course they say, oh yes, there could have been many others, but we all descend back. You see, males have one Y chromosome and one X chromosome. And that's very important. Let me finish with this, okay? This goes in line with Genesis. You see, all you females in here only have two X chromosomes. A man passes on his X chromosome to his daughter and his Y chromosome to his son. You ladies don't pass anything on to your son of this chromosome. You pass on your X chromosome to your daughters, but you can't pass on what it takes to make a man. Do you know, that's why the Bible says the woman came out of the man. The man didn't come out of the woman. Do you realize you mommies cannot create a man by yourself? You need the DNA of the man to actually form the man. You see, the man puts into that daughter, but that mother does not put her unique mark on that man. In other words, this Y chromosome comes down the male line. the X chromosome comes down the female line, and through those two lines, all of you ladies can trace your genealogy straight back to Eve. That's fact. All you men sitting in here, you can trace your genealogy straight back to Adam. This is now scientific fact. Nobody can argue with this. That we all descend from one singular man, one singular woman. And this has exploded on the scientific evolutionary world in the past 20 years. And you know what they're trying to do? Everyone to re-understand it. To try and interpret it differently. They give lots of information around it. But 30 years ago, no evolutionist would admit that we came from one man and one woman. Yet I hold the record in my hand of the original DNA beginning of Adam and Eve, of your family history. Don't pay a lot on genealogies to go researching who's who and how. I will give into your hand your family history, and no genealogy group in the world will do that. I'll give you it free. I'll encourage you to believe it, to read it, and to hear of your own family history back to the ancient ages. Saints, I'm only laying in the first rung of the ladder. From here, in identifying this, as of next week, I'm going to start looking at each individual link. And we can't do them all because there's too many hoaxes among them. But for a few short weeks, we're going to take each missing link and I'll prove to you that they're a deception. And you know who's behind it? The devil's behind it. If you don't accept truth, you know what's going to happen? The devil will come to you with a lie, a deception, a falsehood, and you'll believe that. If you reject the creation story, if you reject that we come from Adam and Eve, then the devil will tell you that you come from a chimpanzee, from a monkey, or as Dawkins also said, we all, 7 billion odd people in the world, all descend back to one fish. That's what he believes. He can believe that if he wants, but he shows himself a fool. I believe that I descend back to a man who's called the Son of God. His name was Adam. He was created in the image of God. And you and I were created to walk with God, to love God, to fellowship God, to know God, and to experience God. Let's pray together. Father.